a very good afternoon to you. It's 12:07, and you're tuned to Midday Matters Outer Spaces here on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Doug Hackbarth will be joining me in just a moment, but I did want to take just a sec to remind you that WBOY's Fall Fun Drive starts this Saturday. You can join us all through the weekend and through next week as we celebrate with live music and lots of special guests as well. And if you make a pledge between now and Monday morning, you'll be entered into a drawing for an Apple iPad. No contribution is necessary, of course, but we would love to hear from you. And all the details are available at nipr.fm. This, of course, the time of the week when we ask you to give us a call with your plant and garden questions. And here to help me out with that, one of the usual suspects himself, it's Doug Hackbarth. Doug.
It is indeed. Good afternoon, Sean.
Thanks very much for being with us once again. I heard you had a good day of golf last week.
Oh, you know, we lucked out. The weather was terrible on Wednesday. It was terrible on Friday, and we golfed on Thursday. And it was in West Lafayette at the Purdue area. You know, it's a greenhouse thing, and you know, Purdue is big in the greenhouse industry.
Probably nicer day around this time, as it's now 50 degrees in Fort Wayne.
Yeah,
probably had a slightly warmer time.
It was perfect, though. Sunny, no wind, and I think I was thinking it got up to 75.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds I'm a little bit jealous, but
well.
But thanks very much to Sarah D'Elia and to Jason Kissel as well for holding down the show last week. We are ready to take your plant and garden questions, and of course the number to call to do that, it's simple. It's 452-1185. Of course, if you'd like to call us toll-free, that's 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. And Doug, let's start with the weather here. It's there was a certain nip in the air that comes with the middle of October in Indiana.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, I had long pants on the last 3 days, and by afternoon, I'm mad at myself. Why didn't I wear shorts? It's hot now. I mean, in the greenhouse, it's really hot. It's about, you know, 85 average in the greenhouse in the afternoon when the sun shines. And so today I put the shorts back on. It's supposed to be sunny and up into the 60s somewhere. 61, I guess, is the forecasted temperature today. Tomorrow, 54 and sunny. And then look out a couple days of possible rain, but warmer. Warmer, but rain. Let's hope they're wrong about the rain because, you know, it doesn't need to rain on the weekends, right?
That's right.
Not that we don't need rain all the time because we do, but still.
It sounds like throughout much of the state, we're still operating overall at a precipitation deficit.
Yeah.
It's a tough summer going into, a better fall, but a lot of the damage has already been done.
But Saturday night's low is 61.
Mm, yeah.
Wow. I'm supposed to go to an outdoor bonfire that night. And the following night, the low is 46. The night before, it's 36. So 61, what a perfect timing, again, as long as it's not raining.
Well, we've had a little fun exploring your calendar here, Doug.
Yes, but, that's right.
It looks like we already have some callers on the line. So
let's get to them.
Let's open up the phones. And, of course, we do want you to join us this hour. Once again, that number, 260-452-1185. Let's go to Mark on the line. Mark, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, I wanted to ask about care of a crocus. I received one about a year ago as a memorial gift. It's in a 6-inch pot. It was maybe 8 to 10 inches tall above the pot at the time. Now it's about, probably 14 inches. Mm-hmm. And what can you tell me about repotting, care over the winter, et cetera?
Well, crocus is a great Florida plant. They'll use them as hedges down in Florida in full sun. I've seen them in Florida in full sun in the middle of summer burn up to a crisp. So it's not that it takes full sun, but yet it can get too much. But not here in Fort Wayne and not at the beginning of winter. So in your case, as much light as humanly possible throughout the rest of the winter season. I hate talking about winter like it's here. But yours is in a 6-inch pot, and don't be anxious to repot it right now. A lot of people want to replant their pots in the fall. It's the worst time to do it. You replant pots now, you're just going to have nothing but trouble. It's always best to replant in the spring. So just, and the reason for that is when you replant it, you've increased the amount of soil that you have. And then when you water, that extra soil stays wet and your plants will rot. The leaves will fall off, turn yellow. And it's just a real problem. It's much better if the plant has the capability of drying out more often. And so repotting just before winter is a terrible thing to do. So keep it in the 6-inch pot, give it as much sun as possible, water it when necessary, and like all plants in the wintertime when the lighting is low, cut way back to no fertilizer. Cut back to none or little fertilizer, because it takes the sunshine to make fertilizer get used by the plant. And when there is no sunshine, fertilizer builds up and ruins a plant.
Well, would you suggest repotting in the spring then? I mean,
yes.
Do they need repotting, or can you keep them in the small pot forever?
No, you should probably repot it in the spring. And it is a crocus, so it can be cut back, anytime you like in the spring. I mean, you could repot it, cut it back, and get it to branch out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Mark, thanks very much for your call. Have a great day.
Too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 is the number to call if you'd like to get in on the conversation, whether you have a question for Doug or maybe a comment about the season. How are you preparing for the, I hate to say it, Doug, the coming winter time?
Oh, yeah.
Or you can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. Let's get Don on the line here. Don, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. My
Certainly.
Question is, I think, fairly simple. I think I've heard you guys say over the months that or I've read this somewhere, I just planted a couple new trees in my yard,
mm-hmm.
took down some older trees, and one I know for a fact is a prune tree. They're approximately 12 foot high. My question is, I thought that I had been told or heard that watering this time of year, as long as you can, will help that root development. And then maybe in the spring when the roots, when it gets hotter out, that the watering actually helps the height.
Mm-hmm.
Am I thinking correctly? And how long can I water? Obviously, I know when it starts to freeze, but am I on the right page there?
You are exactly on the right page. Perennial plants, including trees and shrubs and other perennials, they like to go into the wintertime moist. If they go into the wintertime dry, they're more likely to die. So it is a good idea to water. How often? Probably not that often. Especially because of the cold nights, you know. It takes that plant till 3 o'clock in the afternoon to actually think about drying up because of
sure.
the cold night. So as long as we stay in the low temperatures in the 50s and the low 60s, you may only want to water that thing like once a month.
Okay.
And I mean,
okay.
how many months are left before it's freezing?
Hmm.
Maybe one. So you really
sure.
shouldn't have too much more watering involved. And then if it rains, then forget about it. You're basically
sure.
done. And then in the springtime, yes, that would be the time to really fertilize, too, in the spring.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good.
Thank
right.
you.
Thanks a lot.
Don, thanks very much for the call. Have a very good day. And Doug is pointing at me.
Yeah, Sean, I just wanted to say on the caller before that, he was talking crocus. I'm sure he meant croton. Croton? Because crocus is a bulb. And he wouldn't have gotten one of those at this time of the year. It's a spring flowering bulb. So I imagine it was croton.
Okay.
Colorful, leafy plant from Florida.
All right.
I mean, a place I wish I was.
Yeah.
Right now. One talks crocus at this time of the year unless they're just going to plant the bulbs for spring. So,
all right.
Yeah.
It looks like we do have one more caller on the line before we go to a break, and then we have some email questions that we'd like to get to. Also, some callers who have left messages with us. Mm-hmm. Right now, though, let's go to David on line 3. David, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I have a whole bunch of knockout roses.
Yeah.
And they've gotten very big during the summer.
Sure.
And I'm calling to ask if I should trim them back now or wait until spring.
Well, it's a yes and no answer. Spring is the ideal time to trim back roses. However, as big as you're saying these have gotten, you may want to do a partial trim back. Maybe they're hanging over the sidewalk, or maybe they're just so big that you'd like to see them a little smaller. You can do a partial cut back anytime the rest of this year. I usually tell people wait till Thanksgiving, but anytime between now and then, cut them back partially. And then next spring, you want to cut them back. They say you can cut them back as far as 6 inches from the ground. I find that a bit harsh. I would say closer to maybe 2 feet from the ground. Seems low enough. But you do want to cut them back in the spring because they will grow. As you've seen, they grow vigorously, and they don't stop growing. You know, they just keep growing right up until,
yeah.
And they bloom. I mean, they're just the most beautiful plant.
Well, I always thought that pruning stimulates growth.
It does.
And so I thought I'd wait until spring to do that.
You're wise to wait until spring, and I said only cut back partially now if they bother you.
Okay.
If they don't bother you, you don't need to cut them back. The other factor, though, involved is if these are monstrous plants and we get heavy snow, or if snow slides off your roof and hits them, the more growth that's there, the easier it would be to break them. So that's another factor to consider, is what happens when you get heavy snow. Otherwise,
okay.
No, spring is the ideal time. April is the time to cut roses. I know lots of people want to do it in the fall. And we usually say, well, wait till Thanksgiving, because by then you can't stimulate growth at Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
It's too cold.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. David, thanks very much for your call. Have a very good day. We're going to take just a quick break here, and then we'll continue taking your questions and comments. Nobody in the phone bank right now, so we'll get you right through if you give us a call at 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. Our handle is @middaymatters. Stay with us. The conversation will continue after this.
I'm Julia Meek.
And I'm Sarah D'Elia.
What's so special about this week's Meet the Music is a taste of the arts we're taking.
With Sonny Taylor, Augustus Berry, Chad Elvington, The Distractions, The Elky Summers, and Left Lane Cruiser.
So be sure and join us Thursday night at 7 for a special Meet the Music Dessert Stage edition.
The words are by poet William Blake.
I was angry.
The voice is singer Martha Redbone.
I told my wrath did end.
Blake meets Appalachia today on All Things Considered from NPR News. All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, the patent wars in the smartphone industry and what they say about the new digital economy. We talk with New York Times reporter Charles Duhigg. Last year, the amount of money the smartphone industry spent on patent litigation was equal to the cost of 8 Mars rover missions. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
New York City's police department trained hundreds of officers in suicide rescue. They reach out to people perched on rooftops, ledges, or bridges. In this line of work, success is exhilarating, but when it doesn't work out, it's hard not to bear guilt. I'm Neil Cunningham, the people behind the outreached hand and the voice on the line, Suicide Preventers, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
And this is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. Thursday, of course, that means it's the Outer Spaces edition of our program, and that means we want to hear from you today. If you have a question or comment about your plant or garden, the number 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters. And of course, if you'd like to call us toll-free, that number is 1-800-471-9264. Doug Hackbarth is with me for the hour, as he is most weeks. Thanks very much for being with us, Doug.
Most weeks, you're right.
Except when he's golfing in West Lafayette.
Yeah,
that's
right.
We did have some callers leave messages with us, and we actually have a caller from, let's see, we had a call here that came in yesterday, actually, a message left for us, similar to one we just got. Doug wrote a column about waiting till Thanksgiving to cut back roses, and a caller, Rosalie, wanted to be reassured that she should wait completely until Thanksgiving to cut back her 5 foot tall full of rose blooms bush.
Well, you know, as we mentioned earlier, that's the date that I use, Thanksgiving, so that you know that when you cut them back, there's not much chance of stimulation of new growth. If you want to cut them back sooner, it's been pretty cold this year. You know, sometimes we have hot falls. This has not been a hot fall. It doesn't mean we can't warm up again, too. But if you want to cut them back anytime between now and winter, just remember you're only partially cutting them back, and you'll do your final cutting in April. That's the key. You cannot do your final cutting at this time of the year.
All right.
Even on Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
Well, you shouldn't.
Rosalie, thanks very much for getting in touch early. We always love that, as opposed to trying to rush out the door at the end of the, at the, end of the show. We have another question here from Jim. Jim asks, are there any great dilemmas that I need to be looking at when planting garlic?
Garlic? Well, you know, I think garlic's the one where they usually say plant on the longest day of the year, harvest on the shortest day of the year. And so, actually, if you have garlic, you can plant it anytime you like. Although, remember, you're harvesting on the shortest day of the year, so to plant it now seems kind of wrong. It's not really going to grow through the winter months. So if you have garlic, you probably should hold it till next year. Plant it on the longest day of the year, that's holding it for a long time. I think I would mash it down, dice it up, use it in the next recipe, and get some different garlic next year. It's just too long to hold it.
I was going to say it depends on your vampire situation.
Yeah, there you
but,
go.
You know,
yeah. Well, yeah, make a necklace out
that's
of
right.
it.
That's right.
Halloween's coming, you know.
it sounds like patience is a virtue here, Jim.
That's so. It, yeah.
We appreciate your question, though.
I think you can get garlic from the grocery store. You know, like, we don't recommend you buy potatoes from the grocery store and plant them because they've been treated with something to stop the growth of those eyes. Not that eventually they won't grow. But with garlic, I don't think they treat those things. I've seen those in the box already growing. I mean, you know. So with garlic, you could probably buy it anytime you want and plant it and increase your stash of garlic by doing that and your fun of growing, which is what it's all about.
Sure.
Yeah.
260-452-1185 is the local line you can call if you have a plant or gardening question for Doug Hackbarth this afternoon. No callers in the phone bank, so you'll get right through this hour. Of course, if you'd like to call us toll-free, the number is 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters. Now, Doug, you and I were talking a bit before the show about, well, more fall preparations. We talked, of course, about cutting back roses here, but what should folks be looking at as we get into these definitely cooler months now?
Well, again, people like to clean up. That's great. Rake, clean up that way. But when it comes to raking and trimming, trimming is generally not recommended in the fall. And people want to do it, and they want to trim their evergreens. This is really the wrong time to be trimming junipers and arborvitaes and things like that. That's supposed to be done in July. So see, you're almost a half a year too late for that. June, let me say. In June, you should be doing that. And the reason they tell you to wait till June, and remember, because when spring comes, they're going to want to rush right out there and do it again if they didn't do it in the fall. And it's supposed to be June. It's because they're slower about coming around. And you don't really know what's going to survive, what isn't going to survive. Maybe the bushes look, brown, and you think, oh, this is bad. I'll just replace it. No, you don't have to replace it. Wait. You have to wait until June to see how things really are when it comes to that. So, yeah, cleanup is very essential, especially your vegetable gardens. You know, those tomatoes. Every rotten tomato that hits the ground is going to grow next year a million tomatoes. those seeds will winter through, or most of them will, and you'll have all kinds of stuff growing because the seeds drop. Just clean that area up. These are diseases that linger. A lot of diseases survive winter temperatures. They get blanketed by the snow, and that helps protect those diseases. And they come back, and they affect your new plants the following year. So cleanliness is certainly the most important thing.
Next to godliness.
That's right.
we do want to hear from you today. If you have a question or comment about your outer spaces and you'd like us to tackle it on the air, give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And Doug, we did have somebody call in and leave us a message about an alternate take on garlic. Some garlic advice here. He said, if you plant it now, because it's a cold weather plant, and you'll get bigger bulbs.
Bigger bulbs by next spring.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, it probably will survive. You know, a lot of times if people leave onions in the garden, they'll survive and they'll start growing again next year. And they will be bigger. There's no question about it.
We appreciate your call, and we love hearing how folks do it at home.
That's right. Yeah, that's something I might do a little research on garlic and just see what the real tips are for.
Is it going to be garlic week next week?
It could be. I'll bring garlic bread.
All right. that'll be the most delicious outer spaces episode ever.
There you go.
Looks like we have a caller on the line here. Let's open up the phones and go to Carol. Carol, a very good afternoon to you. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering, we live in a condo that's surrounded by lilac bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a new maintenance company, and they sent a landscaper around, and they cut off all the lilac bushes they were bushes because they were kind of raggedy.
I'm sure sorry to hear that.
I know. Did they kill them?
Oh, no, they didn't kill them, but they could have cut off next year's blooms. Lilacs should only be pruned one time of the year, and that's right after lilacs bloom, which is in the spring.
Oh, okay.
And then what happens is you trim them back. They grow through the summer. They set bud in the fall, and then they bloom again in the spring. So if you cut them back in the fall, as these folks have done, more than likely you might still get some blooms next year, but nothing like you would if you hadn't to cut them back. So, yeah, I suspect that you're not going to have much in the way of lilac blossoms next year.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, not everything can be cut back in the fall, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think the landscaping company knows that.
That's too bad. Yeah, and the company itself probably knows. It's just some of the people that came out.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
We're sorry sorry for your loss there, Kelly.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
Because there's nothing like lilacs in the springtime. Those things are beautiful. They smell good. you can go out, cut those branches off that have the blooms and bring them in the house, and what a great smell.
Carol, we appreciate your call here, and of course, we want to hear from more of our listeners this hour with questions or comments, perhaps even a little bit of advice for us. It's 260-452-1185. I have a few more callers on the line. Let's open up the phones and go to Irene. Irene, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello. Yes. Doug, I have let my ivy and myrtle beds kind of get ahead of me this summer in terms of weeds, and I'm wondering, is there anything I could put on this fall that would kind of give me a head start in the spring to help the ivy and myrtle outdo the weeds?
Well, you know, there is a product, and it's not going to help you. There is a product that you can spray on myrtle and ivies that kill grass. The problem is they only kill grass, and then they don't hurt your perennial ground covers. But to find a product that will actually kill those weeds and not your ground covers is pretty tough. Something like Preen, though, will not hurt anything. It won't hurt the existing weeds. It won't hurt the myrtle. So you're thinking, well, why would I want it? It will prevent any new seeds from growing. Like if the weeds dropped seeds, the seeds won't germinate. That's what Preen is all about. You might want to consider putting that down, especially next spring. It's a little late for this year. If you was to just sprinkle Preen around. Now, if I were doing it, because I'll give you the lazy gardener method, I would sprinkle it around, and then I would go through with like a soft rake and rake it, rake the ground cover so that the Preen drops down into the ground, but then figure that you didn't get it all, so then you're going to want to come back with a hose and spray it all off, because that's the way the Preen will work, is once it gets down into the ground area. And you don't really want to leave it laying on the ground cover, or it could damage the ground cover. So it's got to get below the ground cover. So I would sprinkle it on, rake it vigorously to drop it into the ground area, and then spray with water very forcibly to get it off the foliage of the ground cover. And that will prevent new weed seeds from growing. I think that would be your best head start.
All right.
But the head start won't start till next spring.
Okay. Thank you.
Irene, have a good day. Thank you for your call. We've got just a few more callers on the line, then we'll take a quick break for the news. But let's get on to Jean. Well, looks like Jean has left us.
Oh, she was probably going to ask the same question.
Perhaps. Jean, if you'd like to rejoin the conversation, we'll get you on the air as soon as we can. Let's move on to Larry. Larry, a very good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, thank you. I talked about pruning lilacs. What about Rose of Sharon? When should they be pruned? I don't want them to get real big.
Yeah, now that's a different breed there. Rose of Sharon is one of those plants. Just, you know, you generally say that all perennials should be cut back after they're through blooming. Rose of Sharon, you can cut them back almost any time.
Okay.
They'll grow back and bloom again and again and again all summer long. So now, because we don't want to promote new growth, the only reason I would wait until that Thanksgiving date is to not promote new growth for the next month.
Oh, okay.
So just wait about a month and then prune them to whatever size you like, and they'll be fine.
All right. One other question about I'm planting some Norway spruce. What kind of any fertilizer should be used?
I'll say this. I probably wouldn't use any. However, if you wanted to use something, get the shrub granulated fertilizer. And when you dig your hole and you have a pile of dirt beside the hole, just take the granulated fertilizer, sprinkle a little in the hole and right on the soil, then put it all back.
About 12-12-12 or something like that?
Well, I'm not real picky about the numbers. If I'm more picky about what the bag says. If it says fertilizer for shrubs and evergreens, that's the stuff. I don't care what the numbers are, because the numbers, it's not that numbers aren't important, but if it says shrub and evergreen fertilizer, then no matter what the numbers are, they should be right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. You bet.
Larry, have a great day. Thanks very much for the call.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's 12:36 and about time for us to take a break. When we come back, we'll have a question, several questions actually from Anand, so stay tuned for that. And of course, if you'd like to get your questions answered on the air, or if you have a comment or perhaps some fall gardening advice, the number to call is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. Do stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, the patent wars in the smartphone industry and what they say about the new digital economy. We talk with New York Times reporter Charles Duhigg. Last year, the amount of money the smartphone industry spent on patent litigation was equal to the cost of 8 Mars rover missions. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. Gubernatorial candidates Mike Pence and John Gregg briefly launched attacks on each other's records during Wednesday's gubernatorial debate. But as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, none of the candidates used the forum to say things they have not already been saying.
The debate featured questions from Hoosier voters on topics ranging from education, college affordability, the Affordable Care Act, and the role of unions. GOP hopeful Mike Pence, Democrat John Gregg, and Libertarian Rupert Bonham all repeated ideas and positions they've been talking about throughout the campaign. Gregg continued his attacks on Pence's record in Congress, including what Gregg says is Pence's failure to support the auto industry.
But you're talking about a roadmap to create jobs, yet your ideology has led to Indiana losing hundreds and thousands of jobs.
Throughout the campaign, Pence hasn't engaged with Gregg on the Democrats' frequent attacks. But Wednesday, Pence struck back and says Gregg's record on fiscal integrity doesn't match his rhetoric.
For 5 of the 6 years that you led the Indiana State General Assembly, we ran deficits in the tens of millions of dollars.
Libertarian Rupert Bonham says he represents real change from the status quo, talking about reducing the size of government, greater fiscal accountability, and reforming the state's tax structure. The three candidates will meet for 2 more debates in the coming weeks. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Incumbent Republican U.S. Representative Marlon Studsman and Democratic challenger Kevin Boyd have agreed to a debate in northeastern Indiana's 3rd District. The debate will be held October 19th at Indiana University, Purdue University, Fort Wayne, and is sponsored by the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics. Studsman is completing his first term after winning the seat Republican Representative Mark Souder resigned from in 2010 after admitting to an extramarital affair. Studsman was unopposed in the May primary. Boyd is a pastor of Fort Wayne's Trinity Presbyterian Church. The new Indiana license plate that will be going on millions of vehicles could be paying tribute to the state's upcoming bicentennial. Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman and former Congressman Lee Hamilton are co-chairmen of the Indiana Bicentennial Commission. They are scheduled to unveil the state's new standard license plate during an event today at the Indiana Historical Society's headquarters in Indianapolis. The Bicentennial Commission is organizing activities to celebrate the 200th anniversary of when Indiana was granted statehood in 1816. The new plate design will replace the current standard auto tag introduced in 2008 that features the state flag's torch and stars on a blue background. Indiana Senator Richard Lugar is starting to line up his next job moves. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Sharon Allseth reports, Lugar will serve on the advisory board of the National Institute for Civil Discourse.
Richard Lugar and fellow Republican Senator Olympia Snowe of Maine will join the board, which was formed shortly after the January 2011 shootings outside an Arizona supermarket during Congresswoman Gabby Gifford's public meeting called Congress on Your Corner. The head of the National Institute says the appointments are a major step in the organization's efforts to reduce the incivility in our political discourse. Lugar and Snowe have long been champions of bipartisanship, and both were included in Time Magazine's 2006 list of 10 best senators. Lugar worked with Democrat Sam Nunn to reduce the threat of nuclear weapons around the world, and he's worked to decrease U.S. dependence on foreign oil sources. Lugar is the most senior Republican in the Senate, whose Senate career comes to an end with his current term. He's the longest-serving member of the Senate in Indiana history. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Sharon Alseth in Indianapolis.
And now back to your host for Midday Matters, Sean Beter.
Twenty minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters Outer Spaces right here on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Very happy to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. Joining me, of course, it's Doug Hackbarth once again. Thanks very much for being with us, Doug.
Oh, my pleasure.
And thanks to our listeners who have already called in with their questions and comments. Now it's your turn. If you have a question about your outer spaces, do give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Nobody in the phone bank currently, so if you give us a call, you'll get your question or comment right through. We do have an email question here, Doug, and it's a bit of a challenging one.
I guess.
A question from Anand. Number one, can pineapples be raised here in northern Indiana?
Well, now, that's a trick question, Sean.
Is it? Anand and I are trying to trick you?
Because, yes, they can be. Outside, no. They can be outside in the summer, but it's definitely not in the wintertime. This is a tropical plant that, you know, it's from Hawaii, basically.
And, you're tropical. Hawaii is your Costa Rica's.
Right. And it's funny because just since that question came in, we all started talking around the station, something about a pineapple farmer in Minnesota. And I thought, well, I got to look this up. So I looked it up. And, you know, these people, if you're going to grow pineapples in Minnesota or in Fort Wayne, which is almost the same.
almost.
You'll believe me in January. Yeah, you'd have to have a greenhouse if you're going to grow a lot of them. If you're just growing one, sure, one or two or three, put them outside in the summer, put them inside in the fall. This is a tropical plant that does not like cold weather. But it's a bromeliad. That's what a pineapple is, a bromeliad. And we've all seen bromeliads for sale in the summertime. They're blooming. Most of them don't have pineapples on them. They have flowers on them, and they're beautiful, and they're long-lasting flowers. They might start blooming in the 1st of July and last the whole summer in your house, or you can put them outside.
Now, there are two addendums to this question here, and you touched on the second one here already, but you know, if it's possible, which we've established we might be able to do, how do I go about doing it?
Well, you can actually take a pineapple, cut the top off along with a little bit of the skin or the fruit or whatever that is at the very tippy top, and first thing you do is cut that off, lay it on the table, come back a week or two later, and plant it.
So there's not even, you don't, Anand wouldn't even have to go to the store or anything.
Only the original
special
pineapple.
All right.
Yeah. And then you plant it in soil and it will take root and grow. Mm-hmm. The trick then is waiting 3 to 5 years and then tricking it into producing a pineapple. And that's not a tough project either. Pineapples react to ethylene gas, as do a lot of plants. And what ethylene gas will do is trick it into blooming. Now, ethylene gas is nothing more than the gas that is emitted from rotting apples or any fruit. And they don't have to necessarily be rotting either. But if you had an apple, I think they like you to mush it up a little bit, just kind of like bang it with your fist and then stick it in a bag along with the bromeliad. It can be a paper bag, a plastic bag, whatever. And actually, I found out recently that about 2 weeks is all it takes to actually set the process into motion. 2 weeks of the ethylene treatment. And that makes the bromeliads bloom or produce a pineapple. No, the pineapple's not going to be there in 2 weeks, but it's the process that starts the idea in the brain of the plant to produce a pineapple, and eventually it will do it.
All right.
So
a fantastic question. Yeah. Thank you very much. And you'll have to get in touch and tell us how your pineapple adventures are proceeding.
Yes.
It looks like we do have a caller on the line here, so let's open up the phones. And, of course, if you want to get in touch with us today, the number is 260-452-1185, or you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264.
That pineapple thing, by the way, would make a great project for you and your kids or grandkids.
And a delicious one if you get an extra pineapple,
yeah,
too. Let's go to Heather on the line. Heather, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. My question is about a wandering Jew plant. I don't know, Doug, if you know what that is.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. I bought one last year about this time, and it was big and beautiful, and I'm just slowly killing it, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Man, it's hard to kill those things.
Really?
Yeah. You must be watering it to death. Now, I understand in a big pot or, you know, whatever the pot is, through the summer it might dry out every other day. But as we get towards fall and winter, you may want to cut way back on the watering. But why don't you, just for safety's sake, start some new plants from the old one? They're the easiest things in the world to root. I have actually dropped cuttings on a concrete sidewalk, and a week later, roots were growing out of it, because that's how simple they are to root.
And in fact, what I'm looking at right now here says it is a very easily regenerating plant, sometimes considered invasive. So you may want to be careful where you put it.
Well, it's invasive, but it can't stand cold weather, so it can't take over your yard or anything like that. But it is invasive, just about like mint. The herb mint would be invasive, but mint survives winter, and so that makes it a worse plant. But listen, here's what you do with your wandering Jew. You get yourself a pot, probably a 6-inch pot. You can use an old hanging basket if you have one. Fill it full of soil, water the soil, and then take those cuttings. Just take cuttings right off the wandering Jew and just shove a whole bunch of them in that pot. If it's a 6-inch pot, put a minimum of 9 cuttings in there. Just shove them right down in the soil. You might water it again when you're through. And the same with a hanging basket. You may want to put about 9 to 15 cuttings in the hanging basket all around.
Okay.
And they don't all have to be tops either. They can be the in-between parts. Just stick them in there. They'll all take root. It'd be a miracle if even one of them doesn't take root, because they're so easy to root. And I would say I've already taken a wandering Jew cutting, stuck it in a pot of soil. 24 hours later, just for the fun, I pulled it out and it had a root on it.
Oh, boy.
That's how fast they root.
Oh, I feel pretty silly for about getting it then.
another one, I'm going to tell you this just because it's interesting. Another plant that's related to wandering Jew is the bridal veil. Now, the bridal veil is like a miniature version, but it gets all these beautiful white flowers. And when we propagate those at the greenhouse, we fill our pots up with dirt, water them. We go through and we cut a whole bunch of wandering of bridal veil off the original plant, and we take handfuls, little like giant pinches of the bridal veil plant. We set it right on top of the soil. We give it one pat with our hand and walk away. We don't stick the cuttings. We just lay them on top of the soil and walk away. And within 2 weeks, they're ready to trim.
Oh, wow.
Very easy to grow.
Okay. So I must be overwatering it.
Yes, and no more fertilizer through the winter.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Heather, thanks very much for your call.
Yep, thank you.
You bet.
Have a very good day. In just a few moments here, we have a question about a fig tree from June. First, though, we've got another caller on the line. So let's open the phones and go to Fred. Fred, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Greetings.
Hi, how are you, Fred?
I'm calling about the increasing desertification of our gardens, and I'm wondering if the white moisture-retaining material can be tilled into the garden soil and to increase the water retention, and if that tends to work, either the white granules or vermiculite.
Yeah, see, that's a fun question, because there's two words here, and you didn't say the other one. There's vermiculite, which you mentioned, and there's perlite, which sounds a lot like vermiculite. But the thing is, people get those mixed up, and perlite is the white, stony-looking thing, and it's only used.
That's the one I was thinking.
It's only used for drainage. You put it in your soil, and it keeps the soil loosened so that water can flow through real easily and not get compacted and cause plants to rot. So that's perlite. Vermiculite, on the other hand, is a moisture-holding product. And if I were going to use vermiculite, I would use perlite at the same time because the vermiculite will compact and hold moisture really well. But you need something in there so that it doesn't compact too tightly. So then again, you use the perlite.
So mix them both and till them deep.
Yes, and generally, if you buy cheap potting soil, perlite is important because it'll keep it from compacting. If you buy good potting mix, which is generally artificial soil, it'll have a mixture of peat moss and perlite for sure, and sometimes they use vermiculite and sometimes they don't. I don't know what the deal is with vermiculite, but a lot of companies these days are staying away from it.
Okay.
And I don't know
why. I think
why.
It has something to do with the potential for a mica rock pollution.
I see.
And that's what I've heard. In other words, it's sort of a derivative of mica.
It is. That's
and
true.
And there
volcanic.
Are some concerns related to a possible asbestos-type allergy.
Well, that's probably it, because I've heard more and more, even the potting soils that we use at the greenhouse, someone asked one time about vermiculite, and they said, we don't use vermiculite anymore.
It has something to do with the dust that comes off of it.
Well, I'll tell you what's dusty is perlite. If you've ever opened up 150 yes, bags of perlite and dumped it, you need a mask. But vermiculite, yeah, they are sort of straying away from that, but certainly not perlite. Let me tell you about perlite real fast. When you live in Florida, you have lots of sand, so they tend to use more sand. When you live in Indiana, not that you can't find sand, but they tend to use perlite more readily just because it's cheaper to buy than sand.
Does tilling in sand do the same thing?
Yeah, if you use sand, you want to use coarse builder sand. You know, obviously not that real fine powdery stuff. That's not good for that's good for putting cigarettes out. You know, and no one should smoke anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Fred, good to hear from you, and have
you
a great
too.
Day.
You too. Bye.
All
you
right.
Bet.
Bye-bye. Just about 6 minutes left in the program here. We have another caller on the line. Maria, please stay with us. We do have a question here from June that came in earlier. And June says, Doug, I bought a fig tree, looks like a bush, for my dad this summer from Sam's Club. It's about 2.5 feet tall. The tag says, hardy down to 10 degrees above zero. Do you have any ideas as to how we should overwinter it? It's in a raised bed now, produced maybe 2 dozen small fruits, nice but not sweet as they're in California. How do we overwinter, and is less sunshine the reason they aren't as sweet?
So this is a fig tree, folks, not a weeping fig, although they're related, a weeping fig, because weeping figs, they don't like it much below 45. So this would have to be a for real fig tree. Very unusual that you found one. They're not readily available. And how would you overwinter it? Probably find a sunny window in an unheated garage. Sounds like the perfect place for me. If this is a plant that tolerates, what did you say, 10 above?
Hardy down to 10 degrees
above zero.
And it's in a raised bed now.
Yeah, I think I would put it inside because it's going to get colder than 10 around here, and you could have problems. I would put it in a pot and put it in an unheated garage with a window, an unheated storage shed, a very cold laundry room or some other cold room in your house, even the basement, as long as you have a window. Not all basements have windows. Some have patio doors. So, you know, something where it gets plenty of light, but is run really cool throughout the winter time, and the cooler it is, the less watering that will need to be done. So it really should probably have a cool treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But how cool?
You're not gonna pull it into the house though and stick it in.
It would just keep growing, and it probably would like to have a bit of a rest period. So
all right,
yeah, that's an interesting question. When you told me someone was calling about a fig tree, I thought it was going to be a weeping fig.
Mm-hmm.
Ficus benjamina, there's a name for you.
Right? I say that three times fast.
Yeah.
All right. Well, June, we do appreciate your question. Thanks for getting in touch. Just about 3 minutes left in the program. That's time for one more caller here. So let's go to, we have Maria on the line. Maria, a very good afternoon to you. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm planning on, basically what happened is I bought a tray of succulents, and I was planning on using them for centerpieces at a wedding that's not until May. And I just kind of got them because they were on clearance and it was a great deal. So I kept them in my garage, which I thought it would be okay. I thought they would handle it, but they're not faring so well. They're growing really tall. They don't look at all like succulents anymore.
Well, that brings up a really interesting point. How much time do I have, Sean?
Oh, you've got, I'll give you 2.5 minutes.
I got plenty of time to tell you this. You know, we used to have this quiz thing, 10 questions that were quiz questions. And one of them was, plants grow fast when they get full sun. And the answer is that's not true. Plants grow healthy, thick, short, stocky, when they have full sun. But when plants are in a low-lit area, they tend to stretch, which means they grow faster, weaker, paler. And this is what's happening to your succulents. You have them in an area that's not getting enough light. And so they're stretching. And by your own admission, they're stretching. And that's your problem. These plants would be much happier with getting as much light as possible. They are succulents, somewhat related to cactus. And so they like as much light as possible. Cool temperatures isn't a big deal. But cooler and more light would slow these plants down. Unfortunately, they've already stretched and you can't shrink them.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, they won't shrink. So... I would say you have very big problems trying to keep these until next May. You might just try doing other things with them, replant them. You can take cuttings off of succulents, so that would be something to try and learn between now and next May. Taking cuttings of succulents in the wintertime is not really highly recommended, but what have you got to lose? I don't think these plants are going to last for you until next May anyway.
Well, my cactuses are doing well, so there's the silver lining.
That's right. Now, the other thing is not much water. So cooler temperatures, almost no water, and plenty of bright light. You know, a person.
Anybody have a greenhouse I can borrow?
So might have to call Doug after the show.
a sunroom that has lots of windows but not heated would be an ideal place to keep these. You could put them there and literally forget about them for a month or two.
Yeah, I had read something about that saying, you know, just they put them, in a closet and forgot about them. Apparently that closet had a sun window or something.
Oh, no.
Must have had something I don't have. All right,
Well, thank you so much for the call, folks. I guess that's all the time.
Maria, we appreciate you getting in touch today, and best of luck. Doug, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Once again, thanks to all our listeners for tuning in and calling and writing. We appreciate it. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. It's 1 o'clock. From W.